This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We are at the Belly Up. It is, I am told, the premier music club here in Aspen, along with about 150 or so of our closest friends. Maybe 200. I don't know. Depends on what the fire marshal says, I guess. This is going to be, as I said, a slightly different kind of marketplace. We're going to talk about the economy, like we always do. Of the zillions of problems the American economy faces right now, though, maybe the biggest one is the one that is least understood. I'm talking about risk. When to take it, when not to, and what to do when your best laid plans let you down. Coming up in a little bit, Heidi Moore and John Carney for our weekly wrap of Wall Street and Beyond, way beyond this week out here in Colorado. Fashion designer Tory Burch and the risks of entrepreneurship. First, though, a guy who knows a little something about risk in the get it wrong and you might die kind of way. David Brashears, sitting next to me on this stage, is a filmmaker, an explorer, a mountaineer. He is right now the executive director and founder of Glacier Works. It's a nonprofit that highlights changes to Himalayan glaciers through art and science and adventure, he says. He is also, not for nothing, the first American to reach the summit of Mount Everest, not once, but twice. So like I said, risk is no stranger to him. David, good to have you with us.
Great to be here, man.
So let me see if I can do it this way. You ready? Just riffing on Michael Douglas and Wall Street. Risk is good. How about that? You like that?
Well-managed risk is good. Risk full of lots of good information and scenario planning is even better. And being here with you and the fact that our staff in Boston drives home listening to you every night has made me into a really, really cool person.
If only all my friends thought that.
This was the best thing I could possibly do at the Aspen Institute, so thanks, man.
Anytime. Yeah. Autograph pictures coming later.
Well, that's great.
Talk to me for a minute about how you, in your line of work, right, in the mountaineering you do, assess risk. Do you have rules?
We have Wall Street rules. We just throw caution to
the wind.
I was
just going to say, they have no rules on risk.
What the heck?
Have you heard of Jamie Dimon? Do you know J.P. Morgan Chase?
Now, let's just ignore all the inputs that say what we're doing won't work and put on blinders. We call that kind of a cognitive bias to say, you know, throw out the negative information that says we won't care what we want, where we want to be. And then at the end of the day, we're just all in a bunch of smoking ashes. But we got what we wanted.
Right.
Nobody else did. But on a mountain, that's not the way it works. People don't make money off of other people's losses. People die when things don't go right. So the way we look out into our world is, first of all, to manage risk, you really need to know your world well.
Yeah.
You just need to know every little bit of it that you can. So you surround yourself with experts. You bring in all the very best information you can get your hands on. And then you say, that's the very best information we can get our hands on. But that's what we know about. Let's find out the really big stuff that could really hurt us, the stuff we don't know.
Right. Can you have collective risk management, or does that have to be individualized for it to be effective?
Oh, I think it has to be collective risk management. Lots and lots of people with lots of good information. And once you look at all of this information, you say in your scenario planning, what are the bad outcomes that will hurt us? Or kill people,
right.
And then how do we prepare? Are we ready for those outcomes, or how do we decide we're not going to go down that path because it's not manageable?
Do you know risk when you see it?
You know it when there's an avalanche coming down from the mountain. You know it when a rock this big is falling down.
Yeah, but then it's too late, right?
Too late.
I knew we had risk when Lehman Brothers went under. Come on.
You know what? You know you have risk when there's a lot of hubris involved. That's a fundamental big element of risk.
So you've been to Wall Street then?
Yeah. The other thing, arrogance and hubris. The other big element when you know there's risk is when there's tremendous ambition and it's not matched by experience.
Yeah, that's
a
great
point. And those
are
big things that we look at when people have huge ambitions for what they want to do in the mountains. And then you start looking at their ability to know what they're getting into and how to get out of difficult situations. And you realize you have no experience. You don't even know how to plan for the simplest bad scenario.
Yeah. How do you teach risk planning, right?
Well, we ask people, and I do some teaching on this, to be very open-minded and to take in, again, this information, but also to accept the fact that fundamentally they're going to have a cognitive bias to looking to risk in certain areas, and they're going to be able probably to manage those areas, but it's the risk you don't really plan for or the stuff that you don't think enough about to know about that's where the real harm comes from.
Once you get burned in a risky situation, once you've had something go really, really bad, and I'm going to open this up to a question here in about a minute, but once you have something go bad, how hard is it to get back up on the horse?
Well, a lot went bad in 1996.
Right, the very famous Into Thin Air.
Yeah, they weren't on our expedition, but it was a fairly traumatic thing. What you do is we fundamentally got back to base camp. When something goes wrong, you do an assessment. You take it apart. And then you look at all the components and all the pieces, and you say, what were the failure points? What worked? You know, and then you really focus on what went wrong, and you go back to the table, and you come up with a better plan. And you come up also, if you have to, with a better team. But you don't go back down that path again.
Right, right. Let me open it up to a question. Yes, ma'am, in the back.
Hi, Gail Amsterdam. Even if you have experience and you throw caution to the wind, how do you deal with risk and the anxiety that always precedes it?
Oh, risk and anxiety, right? How do you deal with that?
Well, I've been at this game so long, the anxiety part
isn't there. Do you not get nervous anymore?
No.
Come on.
You know, because it's too tiring. Anxiety, like, takes too much energy. I need the energy for the mountain.
Well, but isn't there an adrenaline in anxiety? I mean, I had a little right before the show today. It's a live audience, you know.
Well, I had a bigger anxiety because I was going to be sitting here next to you. That's a form of risk management for me to not just flub everything. No, okay, to answer your question, okay, anxiety makes us our senses more acute and more focused. So to have a sense of fear, create a sense of anxiety, fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, fear of shame, humiliation, those things cause us to want to perform and get performance from the people around us. So, of course, wanting not to die, that and the idea of dying creates some anxiety. So then we incorporate that into our outlook on the world, and it is the one I said. Yeah. Get in the best information you can find. Find people who give you more information right. than you can find, and then make good decisions.
Very quickly, about your current work, Glacier Works, the Himalayan glaciers, and how important glaciers are for us as a society and a people. It seems to me that your work now comes at a point when, not that we can manage the risk anymore, we are already at risk. What do you do once you've crossed that threshold into being in risky land?
You don't say the situation's hopeless, which a lot of doom and gloomers do about climate change. And then people won't take action. Here's the thing. You know, we're going to continue to put a lot more carbon in the air. The reason we study the glaciers tell us about how climate change is affecting the Tibetan Plateau.
Right.
The source of all these big rivers in Asia, which go to all those billions of people, right? And some, right. they're important. So if we're going to continue to put carbon into the air at the rate we are, we're going to have a warmer planet.
Yep.
So then let's look at those outcomes. What's this warmer planet going to look like? What part of it? Which outcomes do we need to worry about, and then how do we mitigate them, adapt to them, and manage that risk caused by climate change?
And get people to pay attention, right?
That's the hard part.
You bet. David Beshears, I'm a huge fan, by the way. So
thank you.
Right back at you. Thank you very much, David.
Thanks.